All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner with the Sandman. We are back with the Sandman, and we're on, let's see, which one? Oh, yeah, I don't even know which one, but yeah, I think it's this one. Yeah, Going to Hell. This will be an interesting one. All right, so let's continue. You guys actually wanted this. I checked out BitChute, and it actually did pretty well after a couple of weeks, so people did come back to the Sandman. So let me go ahead and give it my all. I don't know how good I'll be, considering I'm not exactly as in good of... I mean, I'm not saying I'm sick, but, you know, I got over being sick, so, you know, I don't know how good things are going to be. Still got sinuses and stuff, but we'll give it a go. All right, so let's go. For the 100th time since I regained it, I reach into the pouch and I touch the sand. I sift it through my fingers, feel each grain of it, inexhaustible, endless. Like myself, like the few others of my kind, endless. Tonight I feel alone. I have always been solitary, but here on the nightward shores of dream, loneliness washes over me in waves, lapping and pulling at my spirit. I sprinkle sand into the waters of night. The grains burn as they fall, reminding me of another in times long passed by. I watched him even then as he fell, his face undefeated, his eyes still proud. It is time for me to walk the abyss, time to reclaim my own. I must talk to the morning star. I do not have high hopes for the meeting. A hope in hell. The wind that blows between the worlds chills me as I fall. I cannot bluff demons as I bluff the errant dreams with Constantine. Oh, excuse me. Suppose I fail? And then he says, I cannot bluff demons as I bluff the errant dreams with Constantine. But I have the pouch. I have a modicum of power. I have a hope. And I stand here alone and afraid in the naked space at the gate of hell. Gong, 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 gong. Ah, master, there's one at the door, Lord Squatterbloat, master. There's one at the door, at the gate to damnation. Is it thief, thug, or whore? There's one at the door, and there's room for one more to the end of creation. There's one at the door, at the gate to damnation. Ugh. Greetings, Squatter Bloat. I wish to talk to your master. Take me to him immediately. Oh, yes, my clown, and who might you be? I have many names, but I am the king of dreams, of nightmare realms. I seek Lord Lucifer, the lord of hell. So where's your crown? Some demon has stolen it. I've come to hell to get it back. Oh, yes, my clown, you're new in town, so where's your ruby? I will take no insults from you, little demon. Guard your tongue! Lucifer will not be kind to one who insults an honored guest, and I am a guest in this realm, as I am the monarch of my own. Chung! Oh, yes, my clown, and who might you be? Back to your gate and duty, Squatter Bloat. I'll take the dream, Lord. Play as guardian. Oh, wow. That's Etrigan. For innocence abroad, need guides of note, and who notes more than me? Then Etrigan! Etrigan, yes, Merlin's demon, the half-man. I remember you, so you're a rhymer now. You've risen in hell's hierarchy, I see. Things change. This way. Things change in earth and hell. To rise among the fallen, strange and true, but as things change, Lord, they transmute as well. And if I've changed, O King, then what of you? I've been absent for some time, but changed, perhaps. All too much, Sandra knew everything in the papers, so I had to. Pills, plastic bag. Had to get out, needed a break. Hurting, hurting. The wood of suicides has changed since my last visit to hell. I remember it as a tiny grove. I thought the hurting would stop. Oh, okay, that's one of the suicides. Now it resembles a forest. Hurt, hurt, hurting, hurting, hurt, 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 hurt. Hell is changing. Upon your writer's soul's entombed to pity, an ugly sight. Never trust a demon. He has 100 motives for anything he does. 99 of them, at least, are malevolent. Etrigan! Kaichol, Dream Lord, I hoped one day you would come to me. Free me, my love, please. Etrigan, why did you bring me here? I greet you, Nada. It pains me to see you like this. Kaichol, free me, Lord. You ordered me confined here. Your forgiveness can free me. I implore you. Don't you love me? It has been 10,000 years, Nada. Yes, I still love you. But I have not yet forgiven you. Now onward to the city! Ha 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 ha! We do not talk for the rest of the journey to Dis, the Hell City. Lucifer's palace, it too has changed. It echoes with loss and pain. The last time I came to this place, it was as an honored guest, an envoy from my own kingdom. This time I lack power, I lack my symbols of office. But I am still dreaming the doors of the palace open as we arrive. We travel to the summit, past vasty halls that echo of screams and grunts and sighs and dust. Up stairs that run with sweet blood, at the top of his mansion he waits for us alone. Greetings to you, Lucifer Morningstar. Hello, hello, Dream. Etrigan, please leave us. We hear you were caught by mortals like a newly fledged demon, sweet Morpheus. We expected better of you. Still, you are here now. Have you come to join forces, to ally your realm to ours, to acknowledge the sovereignty of Hell? You know my views on that, Lightbringer. Yes, we do. Your family are well, I trust. Destiny, Death, Despair, and the others? No matter. We assume that this is no social call. What do you want? My helm was stolen from me. I believe one of your demons has it. I would like it back. Now. Ah, if it were only that easy. Things have changed in Hell since you were last here. Bzzzt. Things have changed? What are you trying to tell me, Lucifer Morningstar? That you no longer rule Hell? That the demons no longer follow your rule? Things do not change that much, Proud One. Ah, but they do, Morpheus. Lucifer is indeed no longer sole monarch of the Nether regions. We have... This is our co-monarch, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. We have met. So you spoke the truth, proud Lord of Lies. Hell is now a dumvirate. No, it's a triumvirate. Azazel will join us shortly. He is the third Lord of Hell. Some years ago, the Dark, the Shadow Creature, came forth to challenge Heaven. The episode ended in perhaps a stalemate, but the civil war in Hell that ensued tipped the precarious balance of power. We rule in coalition now, Azazel, Beelzebub, and I. Three kings of darkness, I am Azazel. Welcome, Dream King. Hell a triumvirate? Things change indeed. Very well. I seek a demon who has stolen my helm of office. I wish it back. Which demons? Name it and we will bring it here. There are a million demons after all. Oh, there are more than a million demons after all, rather. I do not know the demon's name. Then let us summon all of them to tell and meet them on the vastly plains of Hell. There now, Dream King, tell us, which demon has your helmet? I look at the demons, some I recognize from nightmares, others have passed through the dream world in the past, but there are so many. One of you has my helm, my mask of pure dream. I crafted it myself from the bones of a dead god. It is one of my tools. Ah, you know what he's saying, right? He's actually talking about that he created that helm from the original Sandman from DC Comics. That one. Kronzon, a Duke of Hell, one of Beelzebub's. Well, Kronzon, does Dream speak truly? Do you indeed have his mask of office? What if I have? You may not talk to us that way, Kronzon. Have you the helmet? Yes, lords. Return it to me now. I traded it for a mortal, for a paltry thing, but it was a fair trade. I have broken none of the laws of Hell. If you want your precious back, then you must fight me for it. A challenge. I do not know if I am strong enough. I truly do not know. Very well. Yes, I challenge you, Kronzon. So, as the challenge, I choose the battlefield. I assert reality. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another thrill-packed evening of fun here at the Hellfire Club. I am your host, Kronzon, High Duke of the Eighth Circle, Captain of the Horde of Lord Beelzebub. Tonight, for your entertainment and delectation, a formal challenge. As the challenge, I set the meter and take first move. And the challenger's dream once the master of the realm of sleep. So let's have a big hand for Mr. Sandman! It has been long since I was forced to play such games with demons. I rise slowly, approach the stage. Around me a soft chorus of sound and languorous ironic applause. The Hellfire Club, it feels like a bad joke. And like everything else in hell, it is deadly serious. So, you know the rules, Dream Lord. If you win, I will return your helmet. If you lose, you will serve as a plaything of hell for eternity. Our slave, I understand. Very well, I have the first move. I am a dire wolf, prey stalking, lethal prowler. My move. I am a hunter, horse mounted, wolf stabbing. I smell spilt alcohol, stale smoke, and cheap sex, perfume, and mold. And I feel the grass beneath my hooves, the flanks between my legs. All is real. Nothing is real. Kronzon's move. I am a horsefly, horse-stinging, hunter-throwing. There are many ways to lose the oldest game. Failure of nerve, hesitation, being unable to shift into a defensive shape, lack of imagination. I am a spider, fly-consuming, eight-legged. I am a snake, spider-devouring, poison-toothed. I am an ox, snake-crushing, heavy-footed. I feel the snake writhe beneath my hoof, its spine crushed. I am an anthrax, butcher bacterium, warm life-destroying. A change in direction, but still an old gambit, I think. I think I understand how Kronzon plays. How I can turn it against him. I think I will abandon the offensive. I am a world, space floating, life nurturing. I am a nova, all exploding. Planet cremating. I am the universe, all things encompassing, all life embracing. I am anti-life, the beast of judgment. I am the dark at the end of everything, the end of universes, gods, worlds, of everything. And what will you be then, Dream Lord?
I am hope.
Oh, then I am... I don't know. Where are the twins? Where are agony and ecstasy? Oh, take this pathetic creature from our sight. Demonstrate him to our displeasure. Excuse me. Demonstrate to him our displeasure. We hear and obey, Lord. No, not this, King Beelzebub, Liege Lord, protect me, please.
And it is over.
Here, Dream Master, this is your helmet. You have won it fairly. Take it.
I thank you. The kings of hell are honorable. I remember this. Honorable? You joke, surely. Look around you, Morpheus. The million lords of hell stand arrayed about you. Tell us why we should let you leave. Helmet or no, you have no power here. What power of dreams in hell? You say I have no power. Perhaps you speak truly. But you say that dreams have no power here? Tell me, Lucifer Morningstar. Ask yourselves, all of you, what power would hell have if those here in prison were not able to dream of heaven? Silently they move aside, unable to meet my gaze, and walking steadily, my helm by my side, I take my leave of hell, my hopes fulfilled. One day, my brothers, one day I shall destroy him. Epilogue.
Hey, D, Destiny, whatever your name is, afraid I've got some bad news for you, geek. Huntoon says to tell your mother's croak, tell you your mother's croaked, she's dead. Seems she wanted you to have this. Catch, clink, thank you, mother. It's just what I always wanted. Next, Monsters and Miracles.
And now it's And now it's 2:15 a.m., April 1st, and the funeral march for a marionette tells us that Alfred Hitchcock presents another twisty tale for all you late-night Gotham viewers. Bum de bop bop, bum de bum. Pom pity pom pom pom. Oh, okay, I see. Good evening, fellow tourists. I think this proves that in some ways the airplane can never replace the train. Heh. Oof. Surprise, it's only me. Now, don't tell anybody else about this. There's nothing like a good hanging to scare people witless. I'll stick out my tongue and I'll be white as a sheet, and they'll all look up to me and they'll go, and then I'll go, April Fool! Fear is a fear of pain is agoraphobia. I don't know what fear of hanging is called. You're the doctor, aren't you? Some people are afraid of doctors. It's called iatrophobia, Dr. Destiny. Oh, excuse me. Iatrophobia, Dr. Destiny. Aren't you meant to be locked up downstairs? Shh, you mustn't tell anyone I'm escaping. My mother died. She gave me her amulet. It keeps people safe from things. She told me that. She gave me my ruby too, but now she's dead. Shall I tell you what I'm going to do? Tell me. Tell me. I'm going to get the ruby back. The mat. The mat. The Materiopticon. And then I'll drive everybody in the whole wide world mad. And then they'll make me king. Sounds scary. Have a nice time, and you must promise when you get back to tell me all about it. You don't understand. I'm going to rule the world, or destroy it. I'm not coming back. Yes, yes, but we always come back here. It's so scary outside. If you see the Joker, tell him to hurry back. It isn't April Fool's Day without his little jokes. But I'm doing my best. I left another next door. Yes, I see it. It's very funny. Bye-bye. Hello, I'm going to find my mat, my ruby. You're going to drive me. I'll tell you where to stop. Trust me, I'm a doctor. Happiness is a heart. That's Granny's. Rip out your heart for Granny. Granny loves you. I flee past gray borders down the darkling road to long shadows. I skirt the fire pits and lose myself in the heart of the Armageddon. It doesn't matter where I go. All roads lead back to Granny. Granny loves me, so she has them bind me in chains and encase my feet in concrete. She wraps me tight in her love and her voice, ties me tight with steel and granite. I've been a bad little boy. I said a bad thing. I left her. And this is what they do to bad little boys. They put them in the murder machine. I leave the coffin behind me. I sidestep the knives, leap through the flames. The bomb explodes, but I am not where I was. The floor vanishes. I do not fall into the acid pit. I reach the womb, the exit, the box. It's the last trap. Somehow I know that, the last exit. All I have to do is type my name, my real name, my true name. And the door will open and I will be scot-free. Zeppin Bravo and Will Doon hang in warning. Lowlies who never escaped the Armageddon, the black blood of a bygone decade crusted on their necks. Your name, they say. Tell us your name and we'll let you go. Orlai hangs there. Sweet Orlai, my first love, her feet burned away and her eyes churning with maggots. What do I call you, she asked me. Not scot-free. Scot-free was just Granny's joke. What's your name, my love? I don't know. I'm going to die. Oh, excuse me. I said that wrong. What's your name, my love? I'm going to die. I don't know. It's over, child. You can wake up now. I open my eyes on a strange room, and for a moment I don't know where I am. The disorientation passes. A bedroom in the JLI embassy in Manhattan. A long way from Apocalypse. It was only a dream. But if it was only a dream... What are you doing here? And who are you? You want a name, Scot-Free? I am a friend. I have come to reclaim something of mine. A ruby. Turn left here. Listen, Buster, I'm warning you. You lay a finger on me, I'll so help you. You lay a finger on me, I'll so help you. What? Oh, okay. Hold on. This is a little hard to read. Finger on me, I'll so help you try anything. My husband's a mafia hitman. He'll kill you, so don't even think that I don't. Oh, God. Don't kill me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. It's just that. Sorry. Are you escaping from prison? No, from Arkham. The madhouse. Oh. Jesus. My mother died last week. She's very old. That was when I knew I had to get away from that place. Oh, I'm sorry. Say, why aren't you, you know, wearing anything? They took my clothes away. They were scared I would kill myself, hang myself with a shirt, perhaps. Aren't you cold? Yes, very cold. Well, there's an old coat of Harry's. My husband's in the back. Why don't you put it on? You must be freezing. A coat? That's very nice of you. I'd like to wear a coat, thank you. Passengers. Okay, I've searched the old Justice League of America files, and I think we found it. Should be up on the screens any second. There you go, taken from some psycho calling himself Dr. Destiny. He was using it to affect people's dreams, make nightmares real, that kind of thing. It was kept in the trophy room on the satellite. Where is this satellite? And my ruby? Space junk. Destroyed. Could have been destroyed, could have been moved to the Detroit Fortress or the Secret Sanctuary, or... You don't know. Not a clue. Somebody must know. Yeah, is this kind of thing gonna happen every time I stay here overnight? Don't answer that. Let me see. Batman? Nope, it's 3:30 in the morning. He'll be at work. Who else was in the old JLA? Got it. Let's go wake him up. What's your name? Rosemary. Rosemary, thanks for remembering. So what should I call you? I used to call myself Destiny. Dr. Destiny. It wasn't my name. My mother called me John. Johnny Boy. Dream Boy. I was a real doctor. Not a medical one. A scientist one. Now I'm just Dr. D. Dr. John D. John, I've got some sandwiches and a lunch pail behind my seat if you're hungry. No, thank you. I'm never very hungry anymore. It's kind of weird that she has that, right? Look, John, I'm a nurse. You can tell me I won't freak. Is it the big A? Big A. AIDS. Helpers? AIDS. You know, the disease. Is that why you look like you do? Where have you been for the last 5 years? Locked up in the darkness in a maximum security cell in the basement of Arkham. Oh, I should have... Sorry. They put me there and they forgot about me. John, who's this they you keep talking about? The police? Did you kill people? No. I did foolish things to gravity. Things to gravity. To identity. I traded their faces with their enemies. I pretended I was of their number. Who, John? The costumes. The heroes. The Justice League of America. Yeah, I remember them. They've changed now. They're international with, you know, embassies and stuff. Now they're the JLI. As you say, it was a long time ago. Knock, knock. Scott! Do you know what time it is? I hope this is important. Yeah, sorry. I know it's nearly 4, John, but, or Joan. But you're the only member of the old JLA who's still around. We've got a visitor. You! Lord Zorl, I greet you humbly. May you guard us in the darkness and on the pathway between waking hours and protect us in dreams from the flame of your wrath. A Martian? I thought your kind were eons gone. I am the last of my race. I seek a ruby, last Martian. It was known to your kind as Dor-Alar, the Stone of Binding. It was taken from a human, kept as a souvenir. Where is it now? Let's see, it says, what happened to the old JLA's trophies, John? That stuff? It's in storage. I thought it might be kind of nice to put it on display somewhere, but it's kind of hokey. Where? A warehouse. Upstate Gotham. Little town called Mayhew. I can get you the exact address. There is no need. I thank you, last Martian. If you wish, you may dream of the city of Fulcrative Mirrors. I thank you both. I hope you find your name scot-free. Good night. Who was that? An old god. A very old god. Come, scot-free. Let us hit the kitchen. I have a secret stash of Oreos of which you are welcome to partake. Mother said, if you're gonna be a criminal, John, you're not gonna bring shame on the family name. I had to change it. I called myself Destiny. D is for Destiny. Now Mother's dead. It doesn't matter anymore. Now I can be D again. D is for lots of things. Death, dust, darkness, demons. Yeah, well, speaking as a mother of two little girls, John, if either of them announced they wanted to be master criminals, I'd tell them to change their names. Make a change from telling Amy and Jesse to tidy up their rooms, I suppose. I know, not you, the other scientists. I'm a hermetic philosopher, and a scientist too, truly. I didn't say you were, John. If I wasn't a scientist, I couldn't have done what I did to the ruby. Do you know what dreams are made of, Rosemary Kelly? Made of? They're just dreams. No, they aren't. People think dreams aren't real because they aren't made of matter, of particles. Dreams are real, but they are made of viewpoints, of images, of memories, and puns, and lost hopes. The ruby seems to turn them into matter. It forces them to translate themselves into forms we can recognize in this world. It also controls dreams in their raw state. Your dreams. Anybody's dreams. I don't know where Mother got the ruby from. She had a lucky charm as well. She wouldn't give me that. Not while she lived. I built machines that the ruby powered. Then I built the machines in my dreams, but they stopped me dreaming. So I had to use the ruby directly. I coded circuitry into its clasp. I changed its resonance. I irradiated it. I irradiated it. I forced flaws. I isolated from its original power source, whatever, or whoever that was. I made it more real. I changed it. It isn't a ruby, really. It's a solid dream. It's the only dream I have. Nobody else can use it anymore. Nobody but me. And we're real close to it now. I want to drink its light. To drink the light of my ruby. Mayhew, 5 miles. I am a passenger. I am moving through your dreams. I am riding in your dreams. I ride on the dragonback from Manhattan. The dragon is made of riveted iron and smells of cotton candy. I travel briefly by bus. In the back, the dreamer copulates desperately, not noticing his autonomous passenger. I sit at the front and talk to the driver. Approaching the state of Delaware, the dreamer is a small dog dreaming impatiently of a past life long forgotten when he sailed tall ships across uncharted seas. The salt spray of the ocean stings my face. I am moving through dreams, pulling toward Mayhew, feeling for the jewel. Through your dreams, my sleeping children, you had a passenger and you never knew. At last! Yes, I'm sure this is the place. Okay, John, listen, I hope it all goes okay, you know? John, keep the coat. Harry won't mind, and I'd hate to think of you wandering around freezing. And get help, okay? Thank you, Rosemary. Rosemary, your husband Harry. Is he really a mafia hitman? Harry? God knows, just something I said when I was, you know, scared you were dangerous, crazy, or something. Harry's a high school teacher. Oh. Oh, well, I don't suppose it would have made any difference either way. Oh. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Hello, my baby. Did a naughty man try to use my baby? He didn't know that you were mine these days, all mine, every glint and facet. Oh, baby, you feel even more powerful than before. Where did the extra energy come from? Have you been fickle? Have you been with someone else? It doesn't matter, darling. We're together again. That's all that counts. So go, my little love, touch the world, eat their hearts and poison their dreams, rip their nightmares into the daylight and scum their sleep with creeping fear. Yes. Hello, miss, I would like a cup of coffee while I wait. Sure, hon, that'll be 50 cents. What are you waiting for? Oh, you know, the usual, the end of the world. Next, waiting for the end of the world. Okay, this is the diner. Very classic. One of the most red-pilled things you'll ever see in a comics history. Oh, the history of comics, rather. It's great.
the less I talk about it, the better. Let's just experience it. If you have watched The Sandman on Netflix, you've already seen a very good adaptation of this. And there's also a fan adaptation on YouTube, which is very good. So definitely give this, give those a try if you like what you see here. But we are going to read The 24-Hour Diner, and this will blow your mind. Hour 1. The flies walked into the web. Bet. Can I have a coffee refill and a tuna on rye? Sure, hon. On her days off, after she's tidied the house, Bette Monroe writes stories. She writes them in longhand on yellow legal pads. Sometimes she writes about her ex-husband, Bernard, and about her son, Bernard Jr., who went off to college and never came back to her. She makes these stories end happily. Most of her stories, however, are about her customers. They look at her and they just see a waitress. They don't know she's nursing a secret. A secret that keeps her aching calf muscles and her coffee-scalded fingers and her weariness from dragging her down. It's her secret. She's never shown anyone her stories. Coming right up, one tuna on rye. One day she knows she'll package the pads up, bind them in brown paper, send them to Dear Abby or Earl Wilson or Jackie Collins. And a coffee there. They'll read them and they'll publish them and everyone will marvel at her depiction of happy, happy small-town life. But you're a writer, Johnny Carlson will say to her. How do you know what it's like to be a waitress? She'll smile. She won't tell him. It'll be her secret. People think Bette talks to them so easily because she's a waitress. They don't realize she's a writer gathering material. Bette, I'm going to use the bathroom. If Donna comes by, tell her to wait, okay? Sure, Judy. She already knows Judy's story. She's small-minded. A writer can't afford to be. What those girls do is a sin against God and unnatural, but still. Oh, joy to vision. Bette feels sorry for them. In her story, she's already married both of them off to fine young men. Ma'am, could I trouble you for more coffee over here, if you please? No trouble at all, hon. It's not yet 11. You still got an hour to kill. Yeah, I know. The young man now, he'd spoken to her easy as anything, just as if he was really talking to a waitress. Tell them you're a writer and they shut up tighter than clams. He's going for an interview with that big chemical works. Maybe tonight she'll write a story about him. He'll get the job. Marry the boss's daughter. I said it's all meringue and razor blades, and she said... Oh, hold on. He'll get the job. Marry the boss's daughter. Okay, that's how that works. Cheeseburger, black coffee, please, Bette. You, Kate? I'll have a salad, low-cal dressing, and a sake with low-fat milk, if you have it. Uh-huh. I'll have to see. Now that couple, the Fletchers, town talk had it, he married her for her money. But Bette could see they doted on each other, like lovebirds. Take one lovebird away, the other hankers and dies. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. All Bette's stories have happy endings. That's because she knows where to stop. She's realized the real problem with stories. If you keep them going long enough, they always end in death. Hi, Bette, when you're ready. With you soon, Marsh. Marsh's story she knows already. Bette sort of looked after Marsh since Marsh had died. Marsh and Marsha, the writer in her whispers, they were obviously meant for each other. But Marsha drank herself to death, died yellow and whispering in a sanitarium. Oh, thanks. Marsh, he went sort of crazy after that. A good mailman gone bad. State pen, stealing from the mails, 5 years. He's a trucker these days, working out of some upstate town that had never heard of him, but he still looks in on her every few weeks. For old time's sake. When do you get off, honey? You know, Marsh, not until after lunch. It's okay. I'll wait. They weren't just customers. They were raw material. Even the quiet little stranger in the corner seat. He'd been here since she came on shift this morning, nursing coffee after coffee, hardly drinking at all, just watching them cool away in a dream world of his own. She wonders about him. She'll talk to him when things get quieter, draw him out, and tonight when Marsh has climbed in his truck and headed back upstate, she'll write a story about him, and in her story, she'll make him happy. Hour 2. He was forced to act to prevent any of the flies from leaving. I don't believe it. I'm going to be late for my interview. Jesus H. Ah, no. Ma'am, I'm leaving $5 on the table here. That should cover it. I'm sorry. I'm... Ah, shoot.
If I run, maybe I can still make it. Oh, gosh. Oh, heck. Ma'am? More coffee if it's no trouble. Sure, right. Coffee. Great. Coffee. Please, I would like to watch the television. Will you make it work? You want the TV on? No problem. Hi, Rose. Yeah, it's me. Judy, listen, have you seen Donna today? Well, we had a fight last night, and I'm sort of worried. Split up? No, of course we haven't. It's just her mom? You think she might have gone back to her mom? And yesterday's pulse-churning episode of Secret Hearts. You mean I married my dentist? But if my Siamese twin is HIV-positive, doctor, doesn't that mean... I'm not just a crazy Kara. I'm a crazy with a gun. Say your prayers. Hello, Miss Kavanaugh? This is Judy, Donna's friend. Have you seen Donna today? You don't have to prove me, Miss Kavanaugh, but I just want to... Miss Kavanaugh? Hello? Tight-assed old hag. Sorry. I wish I were dead. Hour 4. He watched television. Look, everyone! It's Dino! Yay! Hey, kids, Dino the dinosaur is trying to tell me something. Gee, Dino, I didn't know it was Pterodon's birthday today. Should we break him a cake? Ah, and you want me to... And you want to tell me something else, do you, Dino? We're going to die. Dino says we're all going to die. Dino told me. He says we could, we should slash our wrists now. And remember to slash down the wrist, boys and girls. Not across the wrist. Dino's Kid Vid Playhouse. You... Please stand by. We're experiencing technical difficulties. Hour 5. The flies get restless. I'm saying it's weird. Nobody's come in. It seems like we must have been here for hours, but it seems like we just came in. Something's very... I love this place. Me too. Anyway, I had these horrible dreams this morning. Horrible. Dear Donna, I don't blame you for all you said about us last night. And I said I was sorry after I hit you. And I am sorry. I'm saying it's weird. Nobody's come in. It seems like we must have been, Donna, I love you. I only hurt you because I was scared of losing you. I'm sorry. Hour 7. He makes them feel good. He makes their dreams come true. Gives them what they want. And Mark says, let's do lunch. Have your people call my people. Money. Money. And Gary's having a $20 hooker in the convertible. Then he'll beat her up, throw her out of the car, drive off. He gets such a kick out of doing that. And Kate knows she'll never have to worry about Gary's little infidelities again. No more lipstick on his collar. He's all hers. Hour 8. He moves among them, experiencing their little pleasures, minor joys. The jewel whispers to him of elsewhere, pains and faraway madnesses, of far-off deaths and distant terrors. This comforts him. He feels echoes of their dreams. Bet has dislodged Stephen King from the bestseller list. It does little for him. Simple pleasures no longer excite him. Judy's bittersweet reunion with Donna provides fractionally more stimulation for him, and Marsh thinks he's dead. Drank himself to hell and gone, rigid on a slab, his liver has failed, his skin is slowly going cold. Dee almost gets enjoyment from that. Nearly as much enjoyment as he gets from watching his jewel in action. News at 6. Is everybody going crazy? Reports are coming in from across the state about a wave of madness, suicide, and bad dreams. Pleasure. Hour 9. Conflict. He decides, reveals character. Ugh! Filthy dyke, bitch! Marsh, honey, please calm down. Please, she's just a kid. Filth! Lesbo, filth! You bastard, I'll kill you! Let go of me, I'll kill him! All you need is a proper man. A real man. I'll show you, bitch. I'll give it to you. Hour 10. They love him. D, we love you, D. Beautiful, you're so beautiful. Dr. D, great and wise and wonderful, D. He licks the blood from the man's finger. A god must not appear gracious towards a sacrifice, however he derives no satisfaction from it. He doesn't know what he wants to eat. There must be something. Hour 11, he catches up on the news. Nightmares, sleeplessnesses, and insanity reported earlier on local news is shaping up to be a planet-wide phenomenon. Reports have already come in from Asia and Europe of accidents, disasters, from people falling asleep on freeways, planes crashing, botched surgery. Here with a full report is Mary Genshin. Mary? Leading fundamentalists have already begun to proclaim the Armageddon. Internationally, people can't sleep or they have nightmares, and anybody even marginally mentally unbalanced is going over the edge. No international superheroes were available for comment. So I spoke to Herschel of local super team, the amazing Herschel and Betty. Hi, am I on? Is this working? Yeah. Well, me and Betty, we figure it's probably Ray's. And finally, in Baltimore, a woman claims she's taught her duck to tap dance. More on that after the break. Hour 12. It's time for them to get to know each other better. Worst, most shameful thing I've ever done? Oh, gee, I can't tell you. I can't... I was 18. I was at college. I was drunk to begin with. I was drunk anyway. Next door to my apartment was a funeral home. My boyfriend had just split. That was why I got drunk and I was horny and crazy. I just walked and I found myself outside the funeral home and I just sort of tried the door. I think maybe I was looking for some place to pee, you know? A ladies' room. And the door opened and I was in the mortuary. There was a body on this table. The young guy, you know, you could see he'd been, you know, good looking. And I thought I'd be freaked out, but I wasn't. I was kind of excited. I went over to the body and I started to play with it. Then I climbed on top of him and I started really going. And all of a sudden, blood started to well up in his mouth and I put my face down and I don't want to tell you this. I don't want to tell anybody this. Sometimes when I make love to Gary, I'd ask him to lie real still. I'd close my eyes and pretend, but it was never the same. Hour 13. They get to know each other intimately. Their house is a museum. Ah. When people come to see... Oh, a house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Yes. Oh, yes. Jesus. Oh, do it. Now, do it. So much different than my hentai stuff. Oh, the ad. Okay, it says it there. Ah, bastard. All of you. Bastard. Yes, now. Yes. Neat. Hour 14. Midnight, and he consulted oracles. Tell me my future. You come from dust. You walk the dust. You go back to dust. Tell me my future. There is no future for you, John D. It's a future bounded by walls and guards and the sour smell of madness. And then the skein of your life is cut, son of your mother. Tell me my future. You have stolen some of the power of dreams. You would take all of it. You would crush out the Dream Lord's life in your hands, John D. That's good. I like the future. Clever flies. Clever little insects. Hour 15, he gives them back their minds for a while. Why? What did we do? Why us, goddammit? Why are you doing this stuff to us? You're gonna kill us. Why? Because I can. Hour 16, party games. Murder in the dark. Ah! Hour 17, confession and penance. Bet you know Marcia knew about us. That was why she began drinking. I hated her. I mean, she's the only woman I ever loved, but I hated her. New Year's Eve, I blew a whole paycheck on a crate of vodka, left it in our bedroom, went out of town for a week. When I got back, she was in the hospital. I as good as killed her. I'll tell you something else. When I was in the pen, I saw your son, little Bernie. He'd been hustling his ass in Gotham, got picked up for knifing his pimp. You could have him for a pack of cigarettes. I don't want to hear this shit. Bet. I did. Hour 18, he brings out the beast in them. The old male gnaws at his trapped front leg. It has followed the pack at a distance for years, hunting for scraps. The females, nervous of the coming conflict, huddle together for conflict. The pack leader is spoiling for a fight. They growl. The young male advances. Soon the females will be all his. The pack leader pauses, then springs. Roar! Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers each night. Roar! The pack leader's teeth are strong and sharp. He is a good leader. The challenge has been met. The smell of blood is heavy on the air. Roar! The victory, like the blood, is sweet. Hour 19. He lies to them. To prove it safe, I'll have the green side. You have the red half. Trusting the wicked queen, Snow White took a bite from the rosy red apple and instantly fell down as if she were dead. Ah! But she's not really dead, is she, Dr. D? Is she? Hour 20. It's time for entertainment.
Even when the darkest clouds are in the sky, you mustn't cry and you mustn't sigh. Spread a little happiness as you go by. Please try. Clap, clap, clap. Hour 21. He shows them to the lights of belief. I want to see it, Doctor. I trust you. I will see the glory. Ah, ah, God, I can see it. Sweet Lord, I can see the glory. Hour 22. Please and thank you are magic words. Wow. Hour 23. Hour 24. Ah. Hello. I'm glad you're here. It was starting to get a bit boring. But you don't look strong enough to even make it interesting. Do you? Next, dreams end. Listen, you can hear the screaming. Three children are trapped in an elevator with Bobby Joe McCann. Harold Smith prowls the dog's home, a tire iron clutched in its bloodied fist. Maud Caroline screams with laughter as the flame devours a geriatric ward. Listen. Listen, you can hear sobbing. On the freeway, helpless weeping comes from the crashed sculpture of twisted, blistered metal, burning rubber, shattered glass. In the streets of New York, a group of fundamentalists know that this is the Armageddon, and they are still here, trapped on the earth. Bereft of the rapture, they weep for their abandonment by a suddenly distant god. Listen to the anguish of a world in which the bad things are coming out of dark places. Listen to a world in pain. In the radio room, Nan Fowler knows he has no more ambulances to send, and the calls just won't stop coming in. Listen. You can hear it. Listen. Sound. What? What do you think you're doing? And fury. What does it look like I'm doing? I've sent my little ruby into their deepest dreams to dredge up the blackness from their souls. I'm hurting them all. I'm driving them mad. You are using the Dreamstone to do that? Why? Revenge, possibly. That dreams of power. In the beginning, I thought I'd tell them I was doing this and they'd make me ruler of the world if I stopped, but it's so much fun I don't want to stop. Death takes a holiday? I think I'll dismember the world and then I'll dance in the wreckage. She's so clever, my clever baby. Listen to me. I made the stone. Created it from the fabric of my being long ago. Powered by my spirit, it was made to manipulate the fabric of dreams, of the world I rule. It was not made for this. You must stop. If you reverse what you have done to the jewel, then let me use its energies to repair the damage you have done to the world. The ruby contains too much of me, of my power, in its fabric. I stole more when I tried to use it. Or rather, it stole more when I tried to use it. You have robbed me of it. I cannot use it, and I am no longer strong enough to repair the havoc alone. Can you not see what you are doing? You must listen. Yours? Oh, your soul is the fire in the heart of my jewel. It's your stolen power I've been using all these years. Yes, I see. Very well. You will repair it. Then give back control of it to me. You will return it. Give my baby to you? No, don't be stupid. I'm going to kill you. Kill me? With the power of my own ruby? Perhaps he could. It has absorbed too much of my soul stuff already. I see. If you would fight me, mortal, you will not take me unprepared, nor garbed for less than battle. And you shall not do it here. If you would steal a Dream Lord's power, then you shall do it in the Dream Lord's realm. In dreams. Coward! Cowardly, cowardly custard, stick your head in the mustard. Break you, suck it up, spit it out, you bastards. Or spit you out, bastard. Now, beloved, follow him. Take me into dreams, my darling. Do you hear me now? Listen to the sounds Barbara Wong makes as she slices the pretty pictures out of her flesh. To the noise Joey Campbell makes as the oven cleaner consumes his face, burns out his eyes to the happy laughter of little children. Listen. Listen to the rushing rivers of blood flowing downwards in a warm torrent. The blood of the weak, of the helpless, of the mad. Listen. You can hear it. Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar! May all your dreams come true! Dreams? I had a dream that I was raping my mother. What does that mean, soothsayer? It means that you will rule the world, Caesar, our universal mother.
Ah, I see. Good. Yes, that's it. No, that's not all. That's not it at all. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing more than this. You had a dream about raping your mother. A tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Daddy? Love? Something 1927. You had what? Johnny D, I wish to God I'd strangled you at birth. Don't say that, Mama. It was only a dream. I didn't really mean it. Caesar. Caesar, beware the Ides of March. No, it's not that. What is it? Beware the March of Ideas? No. Beware the Brides of Frankenstein. No. Stay back. Go away. They've gone. You did that. My Ruby. I know you. God, this is a dream. I'm in the dream world. And I remember why I'm here. I'm here to kill you, Dream Lord, to take this kingdom as my own. I hold your stolen power in my hands, and I will take all of it. I think I'm going to like it here. Where are you? Show yourself. I'm going to suck your blasted life out, swine scum. You can't hide from me forever. And 100 million sleepers stirred uneasily in their slumber. Can you see me, stinkered lord of piss and mire? Look! Can you see me using your power to rip your ragtag dream world apart? Can you see me? Ah, ha, 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 ha. And the sleeping all over the world screamed and whimpered and moaned and thrashed and called out as if caught in the darkest of nightmares. And in dreams, Jean D spewed his hate and laughter onto the emerald winds. Eve stares out from her cave at the erupting dreamscape, her raven caws unkindly at the havoc. Come to me, you ragshag lord of nowhere at all. The quakes and lights send the keepers of the story scurrying for cover. Their monsters hide with them under their bed. Watch me, I'll rupture your ramshackle land and piss in the ruins. Come to me, you spineless, spittle-arsed, poxy-pale wanker. In the garden of forking ways, Destiny finds himself, perhaps for the first time, hesitant to turn the next page in his book. Oh, this is so good. Mother, if you could only see me now. Watch me, dream puker. Do you know what I'll do next? Stop. I am here, D. Desist. Yes, you're here. Hello. He he he. This lovely thing is yours, isn't it? It contains your life, your magic, your power, right? Right. And the last time you used it, it sucked out more, yes? Yes? D, stop. You are hurting the dreamers. You are tampering with the order of things. Shut up! Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up! I'm gonna take all of it. All your life. Every bit. Watch me. Does that hurt? Does it? I bet it hurts. I bet it hurts a lot. What does it feel like to have the life sucked out of you? Tell me, I want to know. Get away from me. I hold your life in my hands. I can kill you. I can end your life. Ah! This is your life, dream sneak. Ah! And I'm crushing it out with my hands. Ah! Crack! Woomph! I did it. I killed him. Whoever he was, whatever it was, it's dead. The ruby. The ruby's gone too. I feel so strange. I feel different. So now I rule the dream world. I will hide in dreams. I'll never go back. Never leave here for the real world where people can hurt you. Where they don't care. Where they die when you still need them. I will be a wise and tolerant monarch, dispensing justice fairly and only settling nightmares to rip out the minds of the evil and the wicked, or just anybody I don't like. I'm the king of dreams, of everything, but it's funny. I always thought that when I become king, I thought there would be applause. I thought somebody would say something. Thank you, John D. It has been so long, I had forgotten. I had forgotten how much of my power I had placed in that jewel, how much of it was denied to me. But I killed you. What are you going to do to me?
I am not sure. You have pretended to power not yours. Wreaked havoc in my realm, inflicted pain upon my person. For that, you should be punished. But you destroyed the ruby. I doubt I would have thought of that. Destroying it, you release the power stored in it. My control of the dream world. It's all mine again. It feels good.
Are you going to kill me?
I could. Perhaps I will.
I'm sorry.
I don't doubt it. Not that it matters. You should have never used my ruby. It's not made for mortals. The damage to your mind must have been considerable. You mean, after what I did, you aren't going to do anything?
Of course I'm going to do something, John D. I'm going to take you home.
Boo! Hang on. I'm afraid I can't see a thing without my spectacles.
Good Lord, is it you, Doctor? I was scared that you might not be coming back, and you've brought a friend.
I told you that you'd come back. We always come back. It's a comfort in wretchedness to have companions in woe. Marlowe, Faust. Of course, he was talking about hell, but it applies equally to Arkham.
There's no place like home, Professor Crane.
There's no place like home, Professor Crane. Goodbye. I think I'm sorry about that, about what I did, you know. Sorry.
Sleep well, John D. I can't go to sleep in my cell. There's a rat in there. I'm frightened of rats.
I don't sleep.
Listen. It's so horrible here. All the screaming the last few days. Mr. Dent tried to strangle himself. It's been so mad, quite terrifying. Perhaps you will tonight.
It's never quiet here, even at night. There's always someone crying, someone calling out, someone in the next cell banging their head against the wall. Banging and banging and banging!
Fear of noise, let me see. Latin. Strepens. Noisy. Strepentophobia, perhaps?
Go back to your bed, Jonathan Crane. Go to sleep. I have a castle to rebuild, a world to reclaim, but tonight at least.
Tonight, humanity will sleep in peace.
Oh ho, my sainted aunt, have I become a victim of brain fever, the curse of academia? Mr. Crane, I fear you have been having an hallucination.
Yeah.
As fast as they dawn, the crazy times are over. Nan Fowler is asleep on her desk. She is breathing slowly, deeply. And the patients brought in that day, cut and smashed and broken in sleep, all sleep like angels, needing no morphine. They breathe in and out. They breathe in, out, in, out, in unbroken and quiet rhythm. Let's see. And in bedlam, John D. sleeps without dreaming, but his sleep is sound and restful. Silence washes like a river over Arkham. No sounds of screaming, no sobbing, no noises or pain or madness, just peace. The only noise is the gentle, even cadence of people asleep. In, out, listen, you can hear it. Next, a death in the family. Okay, so I want to briefly talk about this episode. Oh, this is the sound of her wings. Well, it was an episode, but we can talk about this whole deal, because it was made into one episode. I actually kind of like the adaptation better, and I'll explain why. In the adaptation, John D. does something very red-pilled. He basically said, I want to create, and instead of it just going different things, even though that does kind of happen, it's actually a little stronger. Because what he does in the show is he said, I want to see a world where no one lies. Everyone tells the truth about everything. They brought in more characters. I think they actually have done it better than the original comic book. Of course, there's a lot of DC characters that were not put in the series, and we understand why. But, this is just... I don't know. I mean, it was still... You can kind of see that he was still experimenting a lot. But they had a more ground version of it. And basically, you find out, I mean, it's so well written, because you have these people and you get introduced to them, and then you find out the truth of what they really want in life, you know, their deepest desires. Imagine if nobody lied and everybody told the truth and spoke what they desired and wanted most in life. That's what Dee did in the show, and it is the most red-pilled thing I've ever seen. Because it's literally, I mean, it's a giant red jewel, so I don't know if that's, you know, you can say what you want about that, because this is much older than The Matrix and Transmetropolitan even. Not Transmetropolitan, but The Invisibles, where the whole thing originally started. So, basically, guys, yeah. He
draws these people closer and closer to their desires and what they want till they finally start murdering and killing each other and going absolutely crazy. Because again, this is a world where nobody lies, everybody tells the truth, so everything they really think about people and every desire they have, whether it be positive or extremely harmful, comes to light. And it's very red pill. It's like if everybody took the red pill and just said, no more lies, we want to tell the truth about everything. So it was absolute bedlam. It's crazy. Definitely worth watching. I know that the adaptation is a bit woke in some ways, but definitely worth watching that one. You'll love it. It's one of the best episodes, one of the best just single hour presentations I've seen put to film. And it doesn't start really until Dee walks into the diner. And that's when you just need to sit down and watch it and enjoy it. It's not nearly as good. Well, this isn't nearly as good as that. And it's unfortunate. They also did a fan version. The fan version was good as well. And I think it kind of piggybacked more off it piggybacked more off the, let me get this right, because it's kind of late. The Netflix version kind of piggybacked off the fan version a little bit. If you see the fan version, you see the Netflix, you're like, oh, I see what they were doing. Yeah, because they had to adapt that. That's one of the most amazing comics in the series. It's one of the most well-known. But I remember it being a little different, and I'm kind of glad that Netflix kind of made that everybody takes the red pill spin on it, because it truly showed what people's deepest desires are and what people do when they're completely unhinged and they no longer have to lie about things and just let things go as they will. Because there's a lot of people that day to day, we basically hide a lot of things. We don't come out and show ourselves, and the ones that do usually commit crazy things. So, you know, everybody in the world taking the red pill is probably not the greatest thing in the world, because then you have complete fucking utter bedlam, according to this episode, which I think would happen, because then there's like, oh, I don't really like this person. I've gotten tired of this person. You eat them. Or you decide to eat the world. I mean, everybody that hid every desire, everything they wanted to do, it now comes out. So it was just complete end of the world. But all right, guys. This is the Grimlord, and I am out for the Sandman. And we'll be back with more Sandman on Grimm's Comics Corner.